Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. When I get up in the morning, the first thing I do is take the dogs out. I add more wood to the wood stove. Then I go up to the office. I turn on the computer, and while it's booting up, I go into the bedroom and make the bed. And while I'm making the bed, the dogs wait on the bench at the bottom of the bed, and then when the bed is all made, they come bounding up the bed, and we share a little time together. This is one part of the ritual, not particularly elaborate. The second part of the ritual has to do with the cat. After the dogs have charged back into the office, which inevitably is a lot warmer than the bedroom in the winter, the cat starts to purr. When he wants to purr, he has a very, very loud purr. Some might even call it invasive. The purr comes from under the bench at the end of the bed, and I go over and I pick up the cat. Sometimes the cat initially plays hard to get. He squinches from one end of the area under the bench to the other, and I go after him. Eventually, I grab him by the scruff of the neck, and I pick him up. I hold him upside down. I rub his head. He curls his little feet, and he looks adorable. All in all, it's a very sweet scene. But there's something else that's going on at this time. When I'm doing this, I'm walking across my synthetic rug toward the office, and I'm cuddling him in my fleece robe. This means that a static charge is going to build up. The cat knows it, and I know it. And yet, there is something about that time we have together. The only time during the day that I can reliably stroke this cat, rub his head, let alone turn him upside down, and he won't swat at me with his claws out. He's not a kissy-huggy type of a cat. But in the morning, he is. So by the time I reach my office holding my upside-down cat, I have a situation. I know we build up a considerable static charge. I then try to roll him out of my arms onto my desk in a way I hope will minimize the charge. It doesn't really, because he emerges with all of his hair sticking out of him like a porcupine. And yet we do it. This whole scenario came about all on its own. I didn't set out to teach the dogs to wait and then bound across the bed when the bed was made and share a little bit of quality time together to start the day. I most certainly didn't set out to pick up and turn a more than independent cat from strong street and barn cat roots upside down and rub his head and his tummy and cuddle him like a baby and build up a static charge and then turn him loose. All I know, and I assume all he may know, is that once I did, the contact with me in companionship and having his head rubbed, in letting go and returning to kittenhood for just that minute or so, was sufficient to reward him. And it certainly was sufficient to reward me. So now we have a ritual that was built on give and take social learning. A ritual that resulted because we were willing to learn from each other. All of us, the dogs and the cat. I never set out to teach them this, and I doubt they ever set out to teach me my half of the ritual either. It just happened. It happened so naturally. We both functioned as teachers and students, trading roles for the benefit of both. It's an amazing energy-efficient system, one that animals have been using for thousands and thousands of years.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.